Today on CityCast Chicago, fancy honey, artisanal breads, fresh local fruits and veggies. Yeah, it's farmers market season, my friends, and we've got your guide on what to do and what not to do to make the most of it. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Simone Alisea. It's Wednesday, May 8th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago is Talking About. What's up, Simone? How you feeling?
I'm all right, Jacoby. How are you?
I am doing great, G. You know me. We've been here for 3 years together riding, and you know how much I love talking about farmers markets. I haven't gotten to go to as many as I want, but every season I pop out to at least a few. And the reason we're talking about that this week is because several markets opened their seasons last week and this week, with more coming online throughout May and June. Me personally, my favorite thing to get at a farmer's market, like the minute I show up, I like to do a little quick walk around the ground, sort of get my bearings. But I'm looking for a good jam. I'm looking for a good jelly. Like when I got to the farmer's market earlier today, first thing I asked the dude, what's your favorite, your strawberry or your peach? He hesitated for a moment. He said, you got to go with the strawberry. So I grabbed the strawberry. It's without fail. Every farmer's market I show up to, I'm leaving with some jelly or jams. Simone, what about you? What's your favorite thing to grab?
I also tend to gravitate towards, I mean, obviously the produce is great. And when you can find like fresh peaches or fresh tomatoes, like stuff that is really hard to find good stuff, like that is always great. But I also tend to gravitate toward jams, honey. I love local honey. I have a friend who keeps bees, and I got to try some of the honey from the bees that he keeps, and it's so good. It's just so superior to what's coming out of the little bear at the farm, mm-hmm. at the grocery store. I love like fun vinegars with flavors, some oils. And then the other thing I love is really good cheese. That is one of those things, like I'll eat that on the train home, you know what I mean? Like I'm just like ready for it.
The guy at the cheese stall at the Lincoln Square Farmers Market, which I went to, we're recording this on a Tuesday, and the Lincoln Square Farmers Market is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's open in the morning, then it's open in the evening. I went at like 7:25 a.m. this morning, and the guy at the cheese stall was just there comfortably reading his book, and I was like, that looks like the kind of dude who is at the farmer's market selling off cheese. And Simone, you went out to a farmer's market this weekend. Tell us where you went, but then how was the experience? Because you was kind of explaining it to me earlier. I'm going to be real. It ain't sound like it was all that successful, my G. It didn't sound like it went the best for you. Tell us what happened.
So right. We were like, let's do a guide to farmers markets. So I wanted to find one that was open on the weekend so I could go. And my hope was that I could try a bunch of stuff and I could tell you, oh, yeah, here's the best thing to buy. You want to get this cheese. You want to get this fruit. This is in season, etc.
And this is the first weekend of May that you tried to go
exactly,
out.
So
not
yes.
A ton were open at this point.
Exactly. And so I ended up going to Green City Market in Lincoln Park. It's hugely popular. It's been around, you know, I think they're celebrating 25 years this year. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, probably one of the best known farmers markets in the city. And I basically made every single mistake you could possibly make in trying to have a good time at a farmer's market, particularly one of the busiest farmer's markets in the city. And afterwards, when we got back to meet on Monday, I was like, guys, I failed. I didn't buy anything. I didn't taste anything.
And I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because you told me all of those.
Yeah, I wrote them all down in a document. And then you show up this morning and you're like, so Simone, I took all these mistakes you made and I did the exact opposite when I went to the Lincoln Square Farmers Market.
Opposite, G. So we are going to hone in on three of the biggest mistakes you made going to the farmers market. Then we're going to talk about some solutions that we workshopped as a team, but also some ways that I went out and tried to avoid those same mistakes. So, Simone, what was mistake number one?
Okay, so I think the root of all mistakes, like I just started off poorly and everything cascaded from here. I did not look to see when the farmer's market opened and closed, by which I mean I was like just rolling out of bed at 9:30, 10 a.m. on a Saturday. I like to sleep in, thinking that I could just, you know, pull up on the farmer's market at some point. I go to look up where it is so I can take the train, and turns out it closes at 1 p.m. And I was like, oh no, I had to shower, I had to get dressed, I had to get out the door right away. And so I didn't get there until like 11:30 or so. And by the time I got there, it was so crowded. It was so crowded. And frankly, a lot of the stalls were kind of picked over, especially the produce stalls. So it was like immediately overwhelming just as soon as I got there, because I failed to plan ahead to see, because it opens at 7 a.m., right? And I was like, oh no, I've made a terrible mistake.
You know, one of the first solutions there is obviously look up sort of the date and time of the farmer's market. Over the weekend, I wanted to go to the 95th Street Market in Beverly. So I talked to my friend, one of my earliest childhood friends, Christopher Cheney, who is the baker behind Breadhead Bakery. And right now he's out at the 95th Street Farmer's Market every weekend. And so when I talked to him on the phone, I was like, hey, I'm thinking about coming with my mom for Mother's Day, but we're going to go to church first. And church is from about 10:30 to noon. So if we immediately come over at noon, am I going to be able to see you? And he said, nah, bro. He said, I was sold out by 11 o'clock. All of my chicken sandwiches, all of my muffins, all of my empanadas, all of my fresh loaves of bread were gone. But I also took this solution and adapted it to my weekday trip to the farmer's market. I went to the Lincoln Square Farmer's Market, and it opened from about 7 a.m. to noon. So I got there at 7:20 a.m.
That is peak farmer's market time.
Peak farmer's market time. Remember, y'all, you're dealing with people who are bakers, who are farmers. These are early risers. So they're already out there, stall completely set up, their entire display is set up, and they're ready to go by the time the farmer's market opens. Simone, you also have some ideas for how to maybe do this better the next time around.
Yeah, so unlike you, I have no desire to get anywhere by 7 in the morning. That is like the last thing I would like to be doing. And one thing that is worth noting is that a lot of these weekday farmers markets in the neighborhoods tend to open later in the afternoon to catch that after work crowd. So for example, if I wanted to stay close to home, the Uptown Farmers Market, which is on Wednesdays, that's open until 7 p.m. The Ravenswood Farmers Market, also not too far from me, open till 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. And so that might have been an easier sell to, you know, try to go there after work rather than getting up early on a Saturday to get to, again, one of the most popular markets in the entire city.
Now, again, if you could still get there, earlier is better than later. Just because a farmer's market says they close at 7 or 8, if I'm sold out by 5 o'clock, then I'm out this piece, right? And so make sure you're paying attention to not only the time the market closes, but, you know, try to plan around when can you get there as early as possible before things have been cleared out. All right, mistake number one, didn't check the schedule, didn't plan ahead. Those are our solutions. Simone, what was your critical mistake number two?
Okay, so hear me out, right? I was thinking.
I love you, dog. You're so damn funny.
I was like, okay, I am going to a farmer's market. I want to eat local. I want to support local businesses. So I'm sure there will be a coffee shop and there will be some, you know, ready-made food, not just produce and stuff. So I did not eat or drink coffee before going to the market, thinking that I would get to, again, try some stuff, come back to you, tell you what it was, if it was any good. But the lines were so long that, and because I'd gotten there so late, I probably would have been there until like right before the market closed, just waiting for coffee and a sandwich or a bite to eat or something like that. And on top of that, so right, I need you to put yourself in my shoes here. It is really, really crowded. It is very loud. I am hungry. I'm starting to get a caffeine headache because I haven't had any coffee.
Overstimulating all the wrong ways.
All the wrong ways. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm looking over these picked over stalls, trying to see if there's anything I want to eat. It was just a bad experience.
But a safe assumption though, like farmers markets are rife with options of things that you can eat right then and there, grab and go options. You can go out there and find a taco style, find fresh baked goods, find some fresh juices. But you're right. If you're going to an overpacked, crowded, potential weekend market, I'm thinking the Lincoln Park Green City Market, the Logan Square Horny Farmers Market. Like, remember, these are also places for social engagement.
Also, look up whichever market you go to, look up and see what vendors are going to be there, because mm-hmm. then I would have known there was only one coffee stall in the entire market. and I would have guessed that that line was going to be insanely long. Some other thoughts I had after this. Number one, eat before you go. Don't shop hungry. This is grocery shopping.
Pretty straight up rule of thumb. Yeah.
Grocery shopping 101. Bring a snack. Another thing too, frankly, that would have made my experience a lot better is if I had brought a friend. Waiting in line would not have been such a drag if I'd had some company, you know, to chat, somebody to chat with, or if I'd brought a couple friends and we could kind of divide and conquer, like, hey, you go get sandwiches, I'll wait in line for coffee, you go set up the blanket so we can go chill out. Like, and I saw other people doing that, you know, people who were texting their friends who were in line for something else, and like, I was seeing the strategies at work by other people, and I was like, I am just woefully underprepared for this experience.
I love that solution, because one of my suggestions with my first thoughts was like, go to a smaller one. But again, if this is the one in your neighborhood, if this is the most convenient one, I like the idea of, we're not saying don't go just because it's bigger or it's on the weekend or it might be a little more packed. It's just, how do you build around that? And you had a really good thought of, you know, usually around that coffee shop or usually around that farmer's market are another set of opportunities to still shop local, be a part of the community, whether that's a coffee shop or a sandwich shop in the neighborhood.
Now, granted, this can be, you know, when I was in Lincoln Park, I would say almost anywhere that you could get coffee within like a 5-block radius also had a line. But, you know, if you're down at the Pilsen Community Market, for example, right, like there's lots of coffee shops in that area, you know, along 18th and in the surrounding areas where you could go, you know, Cafe Jumping Bean, La Malinche, all kinds of spots where you could grab a bite or something before or after the market that's not in the market proper. And so that's another option you might consider.
Yeah, I'm planning on going to the Beverly Farmers Market this weekend, and Afro Joe's is a coffee shop that we've talked about plenty. And it's about a 2-minute drive, 10-minute walk from the market. And so again, make sure you got something, whether it's a banana, some oatmeal in the morning, just something to settle your stomach, because it means you're a lot more likely to enjoy yourself, have a good time, not being rushed as you move through. So Simone, we have gone through two of your big mistakes, not planning very well, not eating. What was the third mistake that this was just sort of the straw that broke the camel's back and you had to leave empty handed, unfortunately?
Yeah, I think, and this is a subtle one, and maybe this is just a me problem. I really struggle with meal planning in general. Like, you know, I'm really lucky. I have a grocery store that's a block away. And so like, if I'm going to make something, I usually just pop over, I grab what I need, I cook, and then, you know.
You kind of shop like a day by day sort of meal by meal type style. Okay, me too a little bit.
Particularly with produce, because I am just liable to like let it go bad. You know what I mean? Like it's really hard for me. And what I was realizing is I didn't make a plan for what I was going to do with whatever I bought at the farmer's market.
Because it's like an exploratory process. You want to go and just see what's available to you.
Well, that's the whole point. It's right. It's what's fresh, what's in season, what do the farmers have? So partly I was late. And so, you know, again, the selection was picked over. So I didn't have a lot to look at. So, you know, I'd see, and again, the produce did look beautiful. I'd see these beautiful spring greens, arugula and lettuce.
I saw the fattest asparagus of my life this morning, dog.
Yes, I saw some wild purple asparagus that looked amazing. You know, I'd saw some golden delicious apples, but I'd be like, what am I going to make with that when I get home? Like, what am I going to do with that? And like, a lot of those are things that like with the apples, maybe it'd be fine, but like, I can't just be like munching on raw asparagus on the train. You know what I mean? Like, that would be weird.
We talked about what people see on the CTA recently. And,
there are weirder things on the red line. You're right.
Simone eating purple asparagus like Bugs Bunny, honestly, might not even crack the top 10.
Not even the top 10. But you know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of overwhelmed with what I could do. And then, like, the other thing, too, is because I had taken the train and I was relatively far from home, I felt weird about walking around with raw meat in my tote bag for God knows how long, right? I didn't have, like, there was no ice, there was no insulation.
And also, farmers markets are kind of... especially the weekend markets, they could be like a social thing where you're doing it at the top of the day, but you're not planning to go right back home. You might be going somewhere else. And so that could kind of dictate.
Exactly.
Am I here for groceries? Am I here for the socializing? Am I here just to maybe grab a few items that I can eat or perishables that'll last throughout the day as I'm moving around? That's really important. Like, not only what you're interested in getting there, but how does that factor into your plans throughout the day and impact how you move through the market?
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, I think if I had done this differently, number one, I would have looked up just kind of like what's in season right now in Illinois. We can link to this in the show notes. The University of Illinois Agriculture Extension has this great chart and list of what is in season when in Illinois. It just shows you a picture of the fruit or vegetable, and it shows you which months it's in season. I think is really useful if you are trying to eat seasonally, but also, like, again, if you're going to these farmers markets, you know, you can have a sense of what's going to be there and maybe start planning around, you know, again, are you going to be munching on strawberries on the way home? Are you going to be picking up leeks to make soup? Like, what is it that you're trying to do with your life here? Mm-hmm.
Apples, onions, and peas are whooping ass throughout the year. They say, we got staying power, baby. We gonna be here. You ain't got to worry about us.
I which is true. And again, I kind of wish I'd picked up those apples, but you know, I was very overwhelmed. I was hungry. I had a headache. It was rough out there, guys. It was really rough. The other thing you can do is, right, almost all of these farmers markets have websites where you can look up the vendors that are going to be there. So you can see specifically who's going to be there. So for example, right now I just pulled up the Austin Town Hall City Market, which opens in June. That's going to be on Thursdays. And I am looking at their 2023 vendor lineup. They haven't released the 2024, but right, I can see Windy City Mushrooms. I can see, it looks like Breadhead Bakery was there last year. And, you know, I think it helps you kind of get to know, because that was the other thing I found was, like, because it was so crowded, I wasn't able to have, like, the interactions to talk with the vendors like you would want to have. Like, that's the whole point of a farmer's market, right? Is you can really learn about your food and how it's being made. And I just felt so unequipped to ask the right questions. And it was so crowded that I was so overwhelmed that I couldn't, like, take a moment to get equipped to ask the right questions, you know?
That's a very good point. So at the Lincoln Square Farmers Market this morning, one thing that Taylor mentioned while we were out there is how, and I don't want to use this in like a sense of a pejorative, but like how selly the farmers market stalls were, in the sense that as you're walking by, people are like, hey, come check me out. Come look at what we have. And if you're like a people pleaser, which sometimes I can be, that means, oh, I want to go see. Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, it was something that if you are going to the farmers market and you are already a little bit overwhelmed, the idea that people are kind of trying to sell you to come to their stall, the grocery store, you can just kind of meander through, be overwhelmed in your own little bubble. But at the farmer's market, people are kind of jockeying you to come over to their stall. And so that can kind of add to the overwhelming experience if you don't have a good sense of, like, what do I want to be getting here? What will I do with some of these items? Okay, how do I balance wanting to try something new? And so I even took your advice when I was thinking about going to the Woodlawn Farmers Market at some point this season, which is the 61st Street Farmers Market. And so I just click on their website and kind of glance through some of the places. And that means when I get there, some of these names will stick out to me. It'll be a little easier to, like, not be have the social pressure of being pulled into a stand that, you know, I've already looked at online. I know I don't need anything from them perhaps, but I'm going to make my way over to this next one. But it makes sure you show up with the right tools to bring these things home as good as possible. So I went to the farmer's market this morning. I bought a very large Aldi tote bag, and I also bought a thermal bag that I got from a Whole Foods about a year ago. And so when we were there, we put the jam in the Aldi bag, but I also bought some frozen breakfast sausage. That went in the thermal bag, right? We bought some fresh sourdough. That went in the Aldi bag. I also bought a frozen strawberry lemonade. That went in the thermal. So it helped because I had to take 40 minutes, the brown line and the red line, to get back home. And so between those trips, I had to make sure that my food was going to make it back in the best condition as possible. So investing in a good thermal bag, or if you're someone who wants to be at the farmer's market and you don't have the shoulders to be carrying groceries all day, or you don't have the patience to be carrying groceries but don't want to limit your experience, maybe invest in like one of those old school red wagons, a little grocery cart, just something that gives you a little bit more mobility through the farmer's market, and means that you're not, one, being weighed down literally by your groceries, but also not being discouraged from continuing to check out new stalls and new vendors.
Well, and even stuff like a little handheld cooler, right? Again, if you're trying to purchase meat, if you an insulated lunchbox, if you have a kid with an insulated lunchbox, that is a thing you could take to keep stuff cool. And you could just put the lunchbox in your cute tote bag. And then I think the last thing here, too, is like in thinking about you know, making sure you're actually going to use whatever you buy. It's another sort of point in the direction of finding a market that is closer to you. Again, there are so many markets across Chicago. They're opening on different days. They're not all open yet, but certainly by June, July, they will be, and they close at different dates as well. We are going to include a big list that we found, but if there's something that's missing, let us know. You can shoot us a text at 773-780-0246.
I've seen lists that have about 20 to 25 of the city's farmers markets listed, and I've also seen some that have about 41 different markets across the city. There is likely something near you, right? Mercado de Colores and Little Village or something, right? Just look at one of the lists in our show notes and plan accordingly. Simone, obviously a lot of these were your mistakes that we addressed. I went out and tried to do the exact opposite, and it worked. I came home with a bag full of goodies, ginger shots and breads and jams and muffins and sausage. So we gotta ask, do you feel better equipped for your next round at the farmer's market?
I 100% feel better equipped. I feel like I have learned some important lessons here, and I will keep you posted on my farmer's market adventures this summer.
Let's all make some noise for executive producer Simone Alisea. What I truly love about this conversation is you cannot plan this kind of content. You just kind of work around what the universe gives you. And I appreciate you for being a good sport, my friend.
Thanks, Jacoby.
Before I let you go, a quick note for some of the early risers in the audience. You might have heard the audio for Friday's episode yesterday morning. Yeah, we messed up and uploaded the wrong audio at first. So if you missed it, go back and take a listen. And if you're hearing this and you're thinking to yourself, Kobe, I ain't got no idea what you're talking about. Yesterday's episode sounded great. Then I'm glad you got to sleep in, my friend. Good for you. Of course, I got some good news for you. If you're looking to pick up some new plants for your crib or some seeds for your garden, well, this Saturday I've got two great events for you. The Wicker Park Plant Sale and the Garfield Park Conservatory Seedling Sale. Between the two, you can get pollinator-friendly flowers, seeds for warm season veggies like tomatoes and okra, herbs like basil and dill, and so much more. You can check the show notes for more information. As always, we appreciate you for listening, reading, sharing us with your friends and family, becoming an official CityCast Chicago member, and most importantly, being back here bright and early tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Peace.